Say, though, you have been one of these lucky scientists to get your funding. Now what?
So after I have received my grant, I guess the first thing that would happen is a big sigh of relief. Obviously, when it happens, it's amazing. And when it doesn't happen, it's an enormous disappointment. And then of course, the hard work begins. So my name is Sam Bajati. Graduated from medical school in 2006, but we mainly do clinical work. So my main scientific sort of career was my PhD, which was 2011 till 2014. And then I've restarted with research in March of this year.
What drew you back to research?
Oh, I love sitting here and looking at my data. It's a phenomenal place to be.
We met for a coffee at the Sanger Institute to go through what a good experiment means. And Sam, although recently returned to research, has published around 50 papers in prestigious journals like Nature, Science and the British Medical Journal.
Classically, one would say a good experiment starts with an excellent question, but I think in our field of science where we do genomics, the first bit is to design that screening part of the experiment really well.
Can I think of it as screening, just finding those people who have, say, bowel cancer, if that's what you're looking at, and then within those select people, looking for what mutations they have in common that might cause this cancer?
Perhaps we could talk through a specific experiment that we've published in the past. I think that might just make it easier. So one of the various tumour types that I was interested in is something called chondroblastoma. It's a very rare tumour that is mostly benign and occurs in the sort of ends of bones. The problem with chondroblastoma is it tends to come back and it tends to destroy bones. So although it isn't a lethal cancer, it's quite a debilitating cancer. So I was interested in that tumor and I wanted to know what drives these tumors. So what we did is we collaborate with a pathologist, someone who collects tumor samples, Adrian Flanagan. We extracted the DNA. We also obtained normal tissue from the patients. And what that then allowed us to do is we've got these tumors and then we sequence every single piece of information of the genome and compare the tumor to the normal tissue, and the difference between tumor and normal tissue, that makes the cancer. Does it make sense? That would be the screening experiment. And then in this particular case, we found a single mutation that literally defines this tumor.
In some ways, it sounded like quite an easy, this is the gene, yeah. But it's not always like that. It's much more complicated and nuanced. So how do you sequence all this data?
So we extract DNA. And that goes onto these sequences. And they read in every single base of the human genome, so all 3 billion bases, but not only once, but several times over. So they generate all these data, and that's a real challenge in our experiments because you're overwhelmed with data. So if you think, 150 billion pieces of information that you need to process, obviously you can't do that on your computer. You need enormous storage space and you need enormously powerful computers to be able to process it.
Sam took me over to where these enormous computers are kept. And to be honest, I didn't really know what to say about it. Fortunately, Sam had a few reflections of his own.
It looks cool.
It does look cool. Yeah. It does look cool.
Like out of a spaceship. So we are standing in front of the data center. So we are looking for a window, and behind that window are a lot of wires, a lot of black boxes, and quite a lot of sort of green and red lights.
It looks like a series of almost like computer hard drives stacked on top of each other with lots of wires and lots of lights. It looks very complicated, and it's row after row after row of these things. How many of your tumour sequences would this hold? Or is that even unfathomable in terms of mathematics off the top of your head?
I have absolutely no idea how big this computer farm is now because it constantly grows.
The thing is, you've got millions of bits of data. And so finding something that's statistically relevant is...
like finding a needle in the haystack, in a way.
And that's why you need the statistical analysis.
That's why we do need the statistical analysis, indeed. Because mainly what you get when you do these experiments, you mainly end up with noise. So the main art is in getting rid of the noise and finding the truth. And finding the truth involves a lot of very intricate sort of review of raw data, but also doing further validation experiments to show that what you think you found is actually true.
So you've got your results, and then I guess the next bit is to write up those results, to have a discussion and compare it with other bits of the literature. Who does what? If there are multiple authors on a paper, do you fight over the last word or do you like hash things out together or do you give each other segments? How does that process come together?
So I think different labs do things in very different ways, and our lab has a particular style whereby one person writes a draft, and that then is a basis for further discussion. And then it does come down to battling sort of every word and expression. I mean, we've got, I don't know, the people that I've written with, some have a very sort of bloomy, sort of fruity style of writing. Others are very matter of fact. And it has to be absolutely consistent with the truth. So whatever we say, we've got this sort of rule in our heads. We have to be able to stand up in a court of law and defend every single sentence, every single word and expression that we used in our paper.
How long does that take? I imagine it takes some time to, if you're fighting over every last word.
It depends. So I would say, I mean, the quickest paper I have written was perhaps about 4 weeks. And the longest paper is the paper I'm currently hacking away at. And I've been hacking away at it for about 5 months.
How does that make you feel?
I just want to get rid of it. I mean, you get to a point where you don't care anymore whether it gets published or not, because you just want to get it out of your life.
Okay. And I suppose the next step is what? Sending it, selecting a few journals perhaps and sending it off to them?
We think about the journal first. I mean, you think about who your target audience is and what the sort of journal is you think you may want to target. And then you also have a realistic sort of review of your data and say, you know, is it important enough or of enough impact to go into this or that journal.